on this auspicious day of the appearance or disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by his grace and his desire for the further advancement of Krishna consciousness throughout the world, we are holding an initiation, and we've chosen a very beautiful verse from the Granthraj, the king of all scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, one of my favorite verses. This is Canto 1, Chapter 1, entitled Questions by the Sages, text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tvam na sandarshito datra dushtaram nishtitirshatam kalim satva haram pumsham kanadari varanam. Tvam, your goodness, na unto us, sandarshita, meeting, datra, by providence, dushtaram, insurmountable, nishti-tirshatam, for those desiring to cross over, kalim, the age of Kali, shatvaharam, that which deteriorates the good qualities, pumsham, of a man, kana dhara, kapitan, captain, that's French. Eva, as Arnavam, the ocean. Translation, we think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross over the difficult age of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a man. Purport. The age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies of this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so, this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there's no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age. And if they all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimasharanya and accept Sri Śrīta Gosvāmī, or his bona fide representative, as captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Oma gyan timirandasya ginangina shalakaya chuksunimiritam jainatasmaya sigurvena maha Sri Chaitanya Manobishnam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadantishva Padanti. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Tvam na sundarshito datra dushtanam nishtitirshatam kalinsatvam harampumsham kanadhare varanam. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross over the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a man. Hare Krishna. So today we are accepting three candidates as disciples in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. As we've discussed many times, this initiation ceremony on this most auspicious day is actually compared to a second birth. This is the real being born again. Our Christian brothers and sisters, they often talk about being born again. But this initiation ceremony is the real second birth, the real step forward, this commitment and the mercy we receive from the spiritual master. This is the second birth. The first birth is from the womb of our mother. But that birth is really a birth into ignorance. Why ignorance? Because we left Krishna for this material world. Krishna's world is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And conversely, the opposite, 360 degrees difference, this world is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. Chanaka Pandit, in his Niti Shastra, which is not necessarily a transcendental literature, but Srila Prabhupada would often quote it and refer to it, because there's also room for logic in Krishna consciousness. Logic means to see the material world in a proper perspective. Logic doesn't really carry on beyond the material world, but as devotees, it's good to see this world as it is, so that we know how to proceed gradually out of it into transcendence. So logic makes sense of this world, and we can dovetail for Krishna's service. So in his Niti Shastra, he says that one should not give up something unless one gets something better. That's not difficult to understand. You shouldn't give up something unless you get something better. Like if you have 100 pounds and I have 5 pounds, it's not logical that we exchange. That I get your 100 pounds and you get my 5 pounds. Logic, making sense out of this world, means that if you have 5 pounds and I have 100 pounds, and if I say, let's exchange, well, you'll say yes. You get the 100 pounds, I get the 5. Not very logical for me, but for you, that's logical. So logic says that we shouldn't have given up our comfortable position in the spiritual world for this dukkalayam shashvatam, this place which is characterized by being temporary and full of suffering. We gave up our freedom to go to jail. Generally, you want to give up the jail to get your freedom. We gave up freedom for the jailhouse of material existence. Why do we say jail? Because that's a word in Vedic culture to impress upon us where we're at so that we can make the adjustments to get out. Jail. Durgadham. With 4 very high walls. Birth, disease, old age, and death. And although people think that they can, by their materialistic ways, adjust the situation through science and technology, you can't change the basic factor of material existence. Just like if you want to make adjustments to this building, that's okay, but you can't change the basic foundation, the basic structure of this building. They won't let you. It's built in such a way, according to building codes, long, long ago. You can make some adjustments, but you can't make any major changes. So you can make some adjustments to make life a little easier in this world. You don't have to scream because you've got a microphone. You don't have to strain your eyes because you've got electricity and lights. You can make some adjustments to make life a little easier, you know. You can have an iPod. You can have an iPhone. You can but you can't make any structural changes to these great walls of life, which keep us bound up. Maximum security. This is the real maximum security penitentiary. They tried. They actually have some pretty amazing penitentiaries in this world. When I was a boy, the maximum security penitentiary was Alcatraz. It's closed down now, so many people don't know about it. But we grew up driving across the Golden Gate Bridge from Marin County to San Francisco. We'd look left, and we'd see the Alcatraz Island. It was an island in the middle of the San Francisco Bay, a rock island. Somebody had the bright idea to make a prison there. Sometimes in the 1930s, they made a prison. Very smart, because the walls were not so high, because if you wanted to escape, go ahead, you'd be eaten by sharks. That the island was surrounded by water, and the city officials, they had this thing that they would feed the sharks daily, red meat. They never fed them enough that they were completely satisfied. So that, if anyone climbed the walls and, got into the water and tried to swim the 300 meters to the shore, they would make it because of the sharks. And there were several instances where some men tried to do, and they ended up as shark bait. Oh. But I heard that there was one man who actually escaped. They don't like to publicize it, but there was actually, I don't know how he did it. We don't know, but we heard that he made it. But this prison house, there's no way out. Especially for a tiny little jivatma like you or me, who are so conditioned and overcome by ignorance. Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. Even God says, that carries some weight. When your prime minister or our president in America speaks, carries some weight. You should listen. So when God speaks, his Gita, when he sings his song, we should listen. It carries some weight. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. Of course, he kindly gives the alternative. The one who surrenders unto me, he says, can easily overcome it. So, we're prisoners. And we have our uniform. People like to see the naked body. But this is nothing to be proud about. It's like a boil on the soul, if you could imagine. Or pimples. When you're a teenager, you get pimples, acne. And you try to cover up. The girls try to cover up with the cosmetics. And the boys just don't go to school that day. It's embarrassing. It's an unnatural situation. Well, natural, but so similarly, the body is a pimple. It's a boil on the soul. It's nothing to flaunt, to advertise. It's nothing to be proud about. It's like when you go to the prison, you get a uniform. You don't like, when you get released, you don't like, oh, can I keep the uniform? They used to have pins and stripes, not pins, the stripes, black and white. So now they have like, so if they escape, they can see them, bright orange. You don't like, come out of the prison, hey, let me keep this suit, this is cool. Embarrassed. So rather than look in the mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You are. We should be embarrassed to look, even in the prime of youth. sweet 16. We shouldn't be intoxicated. After 50, you don't want to look in the mirror. When you're brushing your teeth, you always look down. But this is our conditioning. As devotees also, we're still somewhat in the bodily concept of life. They were driving to Mayapur with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was sleeping in the front seat, napping, snap as he called it. And the devotees saw a truck run over a man on a bicycle, and he made a pancake. It was a pancake that the bike and the bicycle guy flat. And when Prabhupada woke up, Shamsundar told Prabhupada about that. And Shamsundar said, "Oh, it was so horrible." And Prabhupada said, "That's because you're in the bodily concept of life. You're thinking the man was the body, and therefore he's like squished on the... No. Soul has gone. Soul has not been affected." Prabhupada's saying like that. But so we think that we're also conditioned, because we've been conditioned for many millions of lifetimes. It's difficult to change habit. Plutarch, one philosopher. Very difficult to change one's habits. So intellectually we know, but do we have the vigyan? Intellectually you can understand by reading Shastra. The vigyan, the realization, comes by the blessing of Guru, by doing service. Tadvidi paripatena paripushana sevaya upadikshanti teginam ghaninashtat vidarshanaha. You can hear and intellectually comprehend, but to get the vigyan, you need kripa. And kripa comes as a result of many, many, many years of service. Cheto dharpanam arjanam. A lifetime of dedicated service to the mission of the spiritual master. You get blessings. It all comes by blessings, actually. So this body we have, we just maintain it until death do us part. We keep the body and soul together. We make the best use of a bad bargain. Simple living with high thinking. Unfortunately, people celebrate their birthdays, even in ISKCON now. We should celebrate, or we should acknowledge our birthday with sobriety. In Vedic culture, when it's your birthday, you perform penances and austerities, and you chant extra rounds, and you give away in charity. It's just the opposite nowadays. Nowadays, people, you know, they immerse themselves in the sensual enjoyment, and they take as many, get as many presents as possible. In Vedic culture, it was different than that. Many of these Western ideas have infiltrated even into our movement. Prabhupada was he was a guardian of the faith. He was very careful to keep our tradition as it is and not let it mix at all when he was here with Western culture. Just like Father's Day. Yesterday I had so many greetings. Happy Father's Day, Guru Dev. So many, my in-basket was overflowing with Happy Father's Day. What is this Father's Day? We don't observe Father's Day in our Vedic culture. Oh, but what's the harm, Guru Dev? Prabhupada said his credit was he didn't add anything, he didn't subtract anything. Our culture is perfect as it is. This is Nisringa Kavacha's difficulty in trying to maintain the standard of deity worship around the world. Devotees are always adding something or leaving something out. He's going around getting crazy, saying, just keep it as it is. Bhagavad Gita, as it is. We don't need to add or subtract. Everything's already there. Our tradition is complete. The children honor the father every day. When they wake up, they go before their father, they pay obeisances. My dear father, thank you so much for kindly guiding me in Krishna consciousness. All glories to you. Is there any seva I can do for you? The relationship is there. What about, why once a year? We're indebted to our father because he's the one that brought us into this world and gave us the opportunity for a final birth. Prabhupada honored his father. He dedicated the Krishna book, the summary of the 10th canto, he dedicated to his father, Gaurimohan Day, who gave him the inclination towards Krishna consciousness, which was later fortified by his eternal father, Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur. There's a very intimate relationship between father and son, and a way in which we honor, imbibe some concept of Father's Day, which is really just big business. Who invented the Father's Day? The businessmen? This is a slow time of the year. So they invented Father's Day, and people go out and buy lots of presents, and Mother's Day, and like this. We have to be very strict to keep our tradition at not watered down. Prabhupada said one time in New York, don't let this movement become watered down like Christianity. It's perfect as Prabhupada gave it. Prabhupada told the story. He said, once there was a wedding, and they were making all the weddings and preparations and so forth and so on, and the mother came around and said to her daughter, everything looks very nice, everything's set in place for your marriage tomorrow, but where is the cat in the pot? The daughter said, the cat in the pot? It's not here in the book. The GBC rules and regulations for Vivaha Yajna. Where, mother said, no, where is the cat in the pot? You have to have a cat in the pot. Otherwise it won't be auspicious. And the girl said, mommy, in the handbook for the Vivaha Yajna, there's nothing about a cat in the pot. Mother said, it's very important, it won't work. So the girl, because she wanted a very pukka marriage, she researched, she investigated, she went back many generations, and she found out through this talk and that talk and some paperwork, and she found out that centuries ago, a mother was, well, their great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, who was a mother at the time, was preparing for her daughter's wedding. It was almost time for the wedding. Everything was set up perfectly. Suddenly, a little cat walked into the arena. Now, we don't want any cats to come because they're unclean. Although, we also keep lots of cats and dogs in our house these days. But the cat in the Yajna Shala arena was not considered auspicious. So the mother, the ceremony was just about to begin. Everything was set up. So the mother very quickly grabbed that cat and just opened up a pot nearby, a big clay pot, and put him in a pot and closed the pot. Boop, all right. You could barely hear the meow. It's just that, that's just all I can do right now. I don't have time, but take him out, wash your hands in the ceremony. So her daughter, who was getting married, saw that. Oh, mommy has done the Yajna Shala, mommy's done this, and the garlands are ready, and the Mangala Sutra is ready, and this is ready, and mommy put a cat in a pot. So when she grew up, as she grew up and she had children, then finally her children got time for them to be married. So she had a list of so many things. She said, ah, I remember my mommy put a cat in a pot. And so forth and so on. It became something that, and eventually the mother who did it, because then her daughter questioned, but what is this? It's our tradition. But was it our tradition? No. How do we know what our tradition is? Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. And they always agree. There's no disagreement. It's always Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Of course, sometimes our acharyas, they may make adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance. But that is within their power, not ours. We see as every age goes on, there's a new process of self-realization as given by the Lord. And even as new generations come forward within those ages, there's sometimes adjustments. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made certain adjustments to Lord Chaitanya's movement. Bhaktisananda Saraswati made major adjustments, Yukta Vairagya, how to engage even the things of the British Empire in Krishna's service, like pants and coat and cars and leather shoes, to impress the British so they would listen. to the message of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, as we were discussing yesterday in Coventry, Prabhupada really made some major adjustments. He let ladies live in the temple. He let ladies give class. Yamuna Devi was giving class, lead kirtan. Ladies went on the street to preach. And ladies got Gayatri Mantra, something his Guru Maharaj even didn't do. So these type of adjustments are not for us to necessarily make, but the founder Acharya, they can make these type of adjustments. And some adjustments may even be made by our governing board commission. The 30-40 heads put together can, by Prabhupada's grace, make necessary adjustments, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Progress means to make the necessary adjustments on the way to the goal, because times change. Times change. As you get older, then you don't even know the vocabulary of the youth anymore, what they're even talking about. You get text messages that are so abbreviated it looks like Egyptian hieroglyphics. Can't figure out what they're talking about. We become like outdated dinosaurs. So things have to be adjusted without compromise. This is the art. But cats and pots and birthdays and Father's Days, I don't think. Yeah, we have the way to honor. We shouldn't buy into anything that is not Krishna consciousness. Actually, we're pulled into these things emotionally, basically, because we don't know enough about our own culture. That's why Prabhupada said, my disciples are wonderful. My only complaint is they don't read my books enough. The real connection between the spiritual master is through shravanam, through hearing. Traditionally, the student would hear for many hours from the guru. We also have that facility. That's the beauty of an iPod. All glories to science. We can hear those things. But we don't know enough about our own culture, therefore we go for these other things. We're spending too much time at the movies instead of staying home like Sanatana Goswami and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. We were in Dublin yesterday, and I was taking photos for Facebook, dovetailing Facebook, yes, Prajapaloka, Facebook, dovetailing it for Krishna, with photos of the temples and the beautiful faces of the Vaishnavas and the activities, and devotees love it. And I was taking pictures of Dublin just to give devotees a little idea around the world, like, you know, what the city's like, so they can appreciate the real jewel in the city, our new Hare Krishna temple, downtown Hare Krishna temple, 5 stories with a restaurant on the street level and a beautiful temple. And you can appreciate it for what it is and the surroundings that it is in. I was taking photos of the old churches, which are all for sale and become bars and discos. And I was taking pictures of this big, beautiful building. I said, "What's that?" And, "Oh, that's the most popular place for the devotees." I said, "Oh, what is there, a vegetarian? We have a restaurant?" "No, no, that's the movie house." Like, the devotee just said it openly, like, without any shame. "Well, that's, you'll find lots of devotees there in the movie house." I heard Prabhupada say in Chicago, "You'll never find one of my disciples at a movie." So we have to be careful not to water things down. How do we do it? When the sadhus speak, they have to speak frankly. Sadhu means one who cuts the material attachments so we're free to become attached to Krishna. So the mundane birth, embarrassment. Something went terribly wrong. That's a nice English phrase. Something went terribly wrong in the spiritual world. Radlet. Mark the birth, April 2nd, 2009. Radlet. Something went terribly wrong. Are we meant to celebrate that? But this birth, today, this birth, this is something to be celebrated. There's one famous initiation lecture by Prabhupada. It's entitled Deathlessness Begins at the Moment of Initiation. Therefore, Shastra says, Janame, Janame, Sabhe, Pita, Mata, Paya, Krishna Guru, Nahi Mile, Bhajahari E. That's my Bengali. Everyone gets a mother and everyone gets a father. But if one gets the benediction of Krishna and the spiritual father, Guru, one can conquer the material energy and return back to Godhead by serving the Lord. Beautiful verse. Janame, janame, sabhe, pita, mata, paya. Krishna Guru, nahimile, bhajahari. Hey! That's a better birthday song. Instead of, happy birthday to you. We say, janame, janame, sabhe, pita, mata, paya. Krishna Guru, nahimile, bhajahari. Hey! Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Everyone gets a mom and a dad. But if one gets the benedictions of Krishna and a spiritual father, what is the benefit of that? No more birth and death. Deathlessness begins the moment of initiation. Just like the material father, he plants the seed in the womb of the mother. So at the moment of initiation, the spiritual father plants the seed, the impression, the shamskara of bhakti in the heart of the disciple and asks him to water it daily by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. That is our great fortune. Of course, it's a great fortune to get this body as well, because durlabham, this human form of life, is very rare. So we do have respect for our mundane father and mother. Even if they're not devotees, still, they facilitated us in this lifetime that gave us this body so that we could be walking down Oxford Street and we saw the Harinam party and some interest came. We visited Soho Temple and took up the process and joined the manor and became a pujari. Dulabham, this life. How much more we're indebted to the spiritual father who frees us from the bodily concept of life, who frees us from this material existence and gives us the Siddhadeha. Siddhadeha means he gives us the understanding of, he gives us the realization at some point of what is our spiritual body, of what is our seva, nitya seva to Krishna. That will be revealed at the appropriate time. What is our eternal relationship with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan? So if we meet that person amongst all the respected Vaishnavas, if we meet that person who somehow by the arrangement of the Lord touches our heart by his example, by his words, by his mood, we accept that person as our guide out of the material world into the spiritual world. That is very rare. That is not by chance. That meeting is arranged by God himself, just like Prabhupada when he first met his Guru Maharaj. He didn't even want to go to the meeting. He said, I've had enough of these sadhus. My father was always inviting sadhus to home and feeding them, and I saw the character of some of them. He told his friend, I don't want to go see this. Who is this? Bhakti Sanana. His friend practically dragged Prabhupada to the first meeting in Calcutta. And Prabhupada was defeated by Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur. He said, I enjoyed being defeated by my guru. Philosophically, had a little debate, and Prabhupada was defeated. And after he came out, his friend said, so? And Prabhupada said, I have met a genuine sadhu. And later he said, I took him as my spiritual master from our very first meeting. So, Brahmanda Brahmatikonya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lat Bij. We're wandering aimlessly. Aimlessly we're wandering because we don't consider the aim of material enjoyment or mystic powers or even moksha to be anything worthwhile. So we say aimless. It's pretty fanatic. Aimless. To become a yogi, that's aimless. To become a realized monist, well, that's aimless. The only param gati, the only real goal of life is anibilasita sunyam jnana karma narvitam anukalina krishna shilanam bhakti uttama. Not even Vaikuntha bhakti, but Goloka bhakti. pure, unalloyed devotional service to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, and anything else is aimless. We're wandering aimlessly from universe to universe, from species of life to body. And then, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, or is empowered to present, they intervene. Stop! Wait, stop. What do you mean, stop? Stop! I don't want to stop. Stop. Take Krishna, Prabhupada said. Here is Krishna. Take him. I don't want him. Take him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. No, no, I don't want to. You've already heard. You're already poisoned. It's going to poison. Prabhupada said, if someone just chants Hare Krishna one time, even in jest, Krishna says, oh, so he chanted my name. He's got a little book. He writes down your name. He told Tamal Krishna Goswami. Srila Gurudev. He said, he follows you birth after birth until he makes you a devotee. That's the power. So if we get that guru, this is God's grace. We sometimes wonder, does Krishna know little old me exists? If you've got guru, that means he recognized, he saw you. So therefore Chanaka Pandit says, there does not exist a ruby in every mountain. There's not a pearl on the head of every elephant. Sadhus, you will not find sandalwood tree in every forest, especially in Britain. And you will not find a sadhu in every birth. So never ever should we take the association of devotees for granted. Unfortunately, familiarity breeds contempt. And we forget, and sometimes we even forget our guru. And we leave the shelter of his lotus feet. This is the greatest misfortune. So we have to remind ourselves. So therefore, at least three times a day, at least Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, at least three times a day, we should remember our good fortune in having the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And gradually, 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 we should try to dedicate body, mind, and soul to his service, to his mission. And refine that as life goes on and on and on. Try to serve our spiritual master without any selfish motivation. And that is practice, because he's representative for serving Krishna without any selfish motivation. Krishna is some distance away. Prabhupada said, I do not know who is Krishna, I only know my Guru Maharaj. For now we can focus on service to our spiritual master, and that will mature by his grace into love for the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. As we serve our guru here, we will serve the divine couple in Goloka Vrindavan. All our focus is actually on our spiritual master. He's the one who delivers us. If we want it, he'll deliver it. One time Prabhupada said, most of my disciples are aspiring for the heavenly planets. But if you really want Krishna Bhakti, Prem Bhakti, Braj Bhakti, if that's what you want, man proposes and God disposes. If that's what you want, if you're desperate to get out of this situation into that, then he'll make all arrangements. Prabhupada said, my father told me, Krishna has thousands of hands. If he wants to take from you, what your two little hands can hold on to? But if Krishna wants to give to you, how much mercy your two little hands? If his thousands of hands want to give to you, what your two little hands can hold on to? Rupa Goswami prays, I am drowning in the painful, fathomless whirlpool of repeated birth and death. O Lord, O friend of those who have no shelter, O effulgent moon of mercy, please, 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 just this one time, extend your hand to save me. But what is the hand? We talk about the long arm of the law. So does Krishna extend his arm from Goloka? No. He empowers his representatives, like Prabhupada said, I did not want to come to this nasty place. But Krishna told me, you go down there and write books on the science of Krishna consciousness and I'll arrange everything else. That's a literal quote. Prabhupada told one of my godbrothers. I did not want to come to this nasty place, but Krishna told me, no, you go down and you write books on the science of Krishna and I'll arrange everything else. Prabhupada said, I was not very inclined towards austerity. Vaishnavas are not very inclined towards austerity. Chut chut, we say in Russian. A little bit, because you have to be, but, you know, instead of fasting, we feast. Instead of sitting, we dance. Instead of speculating, we have class. Yeah. So we should not be satisfied to remain here. This is a painful condition. And someone who is comfortable with a painful condition, he's crazy. Pain means something's wrong. That's nature's way of indicating something's wrong. You better correct it. Like if you get a pain in your tooth, hey, that you can't see it, but you're inside your tooth, it's decaying, and the nerve and the root are decomposing. It's going to turn into a bad infection. It may even go to your brain and kill you. So thank God that there's some pain. Some people have a particular medical condition where they can't experience pain. Someone said to me, wow, that would be really cool. What if you cut yourself and you don't see it and you bleed to death? What if you burn yourself and it becomes... No. Pain is nature's way of saying, hey, Baba, Jeev Jago. We should be, well, not thankful there's pain, but we should acknowledge that, like if you get a pain inside your tummy, then you have to go because maybe there's a tumor and they can cut it out in time. So we are in this painful condition. That means there's something wrong. Yeah. There's birth, there's disease, there's old age, there's death, there's something wrong. So, hey, go to the doctor. Who's the doctor? Guruji. He's like, you know, the spiritual master, he's like the doctor, he's like the physician, he's like the psychoanalyst, he's like the psychiatrist, the psychologist, he's like the father, he's like the best friend. He plays many roles. He's our guru, of course. So there's no familiarity, there's always the awe and reverence, but he plays many roles. So he's like the doctor. He gives the medicine which Mahaprabhu has brought. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama Nama, Hare Hare. And if we take that medicine religiously, it's not that religiously like that, it's not used in the sense of religious, but religiously. It's kind of compromised the term. Religiously means do something religiously. It may not be pious or even transcendental, but they say that just do it very carefully and with great detail. So do something religiously every day very carefully. Do your athletic exercises religiously. You mean I should sing God's name? No. Religiously, son, my father used to say. Do this religiously. My father was not a religious man. But he meant, do it very in a disciplined way. Then the result will come. And we've been blessed because basically there's just one rule and regulation. Chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama Hare. All the other rules and regulations support that one rule and regulation to chant. That's the Yuga Dharma. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahaguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param vajet. Hey, king, look around. Stop. Look around. This age, which is just beginning, because the sun set when Krishna left, the sunshine of Srimad Bhagavatam apparently disappeared from this world. Everything became darkness of Kali. This dark age of Kali Yuga is an ocean of inauspiciousness. But don't lament. There's one good thing left. Kirtanad. You'll become liberated by doing kirtanad, which means sing. You just sing and you'll become liberated. Oh, I said that at Woodstock one time. Kirtanad. You boys and girls just sing and you'll become liberated. One boy went, yeah, rock and roll forever. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I like this Hare Krishna message. I said, well, hold on. I said, sing, but you have to sing Sabda Brahma. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya. You have to sing this sound, Krishna's name. This is Golok Premda and Harinam Sankirtan. This chanting is not of this world. It's something coming from another sphere, another dimension. It's coming from Golok Brindavan with the express purpose of capturing our hearts, purifying our hearts, awakening bhakti, and propelling us back to the spiritual world on the old Easy Journey to Other Planets cover in the very beginning. I think there's a yogi meditating on that present cover. But in the old days, back in the 70s, when the dinosaurs still existed, the cover was a devotee chanting japa through the cosmos. You could see the planet Earth, and you could see Radha and Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan, this devotee in his dhoti without a spacesuit. I don't know where he got the oxygen, but he was going through the universe with his japa beads. And I thought, that is so cool. I said, that's what I want to do. Back to the spiritual world. So this chanting, that's the effect. It takes us back to Godhead. It's our life and soul, our be-all and end-all of existence. It's this chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We get back what we lost. We lost a lot when we made that decision to give up the spiritual world for the material world. It wasn't very intelligent, according to Chanaka Pandit. But we get back everything we lost just in one name of Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. Just one name of Krishna. We get back everything that we lost. If we have that shraddha, we have that faith. There's no difference between the name, fame, form, pastimes, and paraphernalia. Absolutely no difference. That's why when an advanced devotee, a pure devotee chants, just Hare Krishna, then one little tear may glide down the cheek. This is the goal of all the service of it. We can just chant Krishna's name purely and some bhav will come in our hearts. Just like Kunti. One symptom of Kunti's, according to Srila Sanatana Goswami, one symptom of Kunti's bhav, her devotion, she's a very deep rasic devotee, actually, that when Krishna sent Akura to Hastinapur to inquire about the Pandavas and how they were doing, so Akura was meeting different devotees, and he met with Kunti, and he was speaking about this and that, and then he said, "And I have brought you one message from Krishna." As soon as Kunti heard the name, only just heard, not chanted, but only heard the name of her beloved, Sanatana Goswami said her whole body erupted in the eight symptoms of ecstatic love of God. Just hearing Krishna's name. And we go on chanting for many years and years and years, and after 40 years the mind is still wandering somewhere in this material cosmos. What is this? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if upon chanting the holy names of the Lord, tears don't flow from your eyes like torrents of rain, the hairs on your body don't stand up, your voice doesn't falter, and you don't become unconscious, that means you're still guilty of committing one or a series of offenses to the holy names of the Lord. So we want to come to that point where we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare, with some feeling. It's all about feeling, all about emotion, about deeper emotions, not material emotions. As Rupa Goswami says, as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys, we know what that's like, unfortunately. As young boys are attracted to young girls, and girls are attracted to young, handsome, 15-year-old, strong, handsome boys. But with the same intensity, Rupa says, let me be attracted to you, but through a transcendental feeling of bhava. Then we know we're making something. When we have that type of, when the heartbeat is there, boom, 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 for Krishna, then we're almost home. Prabhupada was walking on the beach, Stinson Beach, my old surfing spot, just across the bay, San Francisco. He was walking there, and then the waves were crashing. Prabhupada said, "What is that sound?" And Shyamasundara said, "Oh, Prabhupada, that's just the waves crashing on the beach. It's okay." Prabhupada said, "No. That is the sound that the gopi's heart beats in separation from Krishna." And Shyamasundara went, "Wow, that's how Prabhupada's hearing it? I used to see the waves in another way." Probably the waves are crashing, so we have to transfer our attachment from surfing to Krishna. Like that. It's not easy because we've been surfing the waves of material existence since time immemorial. But by the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and in particular by his most dear servant, Śrīla Prabhupāda, it is possible to have a change of heart even in one lifetime. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said in Initiation Lecture 1932, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Of course, he realized the imperfections in his disciples, but he had full faith. Again, the Shraddha. He had full Shraddha, faith in the holy name of Krishna, because the holy name is none different than Krishna. And it has the power to destroy all karmic reactions in our heart to nil, to uproot those poisonous plants, the deep roots of material desires, and throw them to the distant place. And they have the power to awaken that dormant seed of bhakti in the heart to the level of Krishna prema. So we worship the holy names. Just as we prepare ourselves for having darshan of the most beautiful, exquisitely beautiful and merciful Sisi Radha Gokulananda, we don't just walk in the temple and say, "Hi guys." No. We prepare ourselves mentally. We're cutting out of the car parking, we're thinking ourselves, "Oh, son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow I have fallen to this ocean of birth and death. Please, 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 you pick me up from this ocean of death and make me your worthy servant again. Oh, Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12. And then we're preparing ourselves mentally, and we come into the temple and we see the deity, some heartbeats there, and then we go and we fall down, offer obeisances to Guru Maharaj, by whose mercy we can take the darshan, and we stand for many hours in front of the deity, absorbing their transcendental beauty and letting their darshan, letting their glance purify our hearts. This is deity worship. There's many rules and regulations to be practiced before one approaches the deity. The first and foremost, I learned from my disciple, Nisringa Kavacha, because he's working in the deity ministry. And I asked him one time, I said, "Nisringa Kavacha," who's one of my best disciples, I said, "Nisringa Kavacha, what in your mind is the most important instruction in deity worship?" Now, probably so his mind was going 1,000 different injunctions, all to be followed by the sincere pujari. He said, "Guru Maharaj, I think the most important injunction in deity worship is to always remember the Lord, the deity, is a person. I always remember that. Practically every day before I do my puja, I remember that statement, that we should always remember the Lord is a person." And that is there in Shastra. "My dear Lord, you're not a statue. You're directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. Nanda Baba, you're his son, Krishna Kanai Lal." We remember like that. And then when we come before the deity, we, because the relationship is established as master and servant, the benevolent and one in need of mercy, there's a proper transformation of loving exchanges. So should it be any different with the holy name? According to Kaviraj Goswami, the Lord name is the sound incarnation of God in this age. It is the incarnation of Kali in Kali Yuga, according to Kaviraj Goswami. Kali Kali Namarupa, Krishna Avatar. So before we pick up our mala every day to chant, we should prepare ourselves mentally. "I'm about to meet Krishna. Prandanahe." Just like we Jai Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe Rupa Goswami Prandana He Jai Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe. Who is Radha Govinda? Prandana He, the Lord of the life of Rupa Goswami. Daya Radha Domodara Radha Domodara Ra Jiva Goswami Prandanahe. Daya Radha Domodara. Like that. Life and Prandanahe means the life and soul. Those deities are the life and soul of those acharyas. And we have our deities, but we have this name, the sound incarnation. We should also have a mood like that. Prandanahe. This is my life. This is my soul. This chanting of Hare Krishna. I will protect it at all costs. How do you protect it? No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. You guard it. You protect that valuable jewel from the thieves of material desire like lust, anger, and greed. And you cultivate that little garden every day. It's now like it's spring and summer in Russia. They all have their little gardens outside the city. Because Lenin, he had them build all these huge apartment buildings in the city, concrete jungle. So people have to go outside the city. They have a little plot of land, a little gardens there. And now they're all tilling the soil like that and planting the little seeds and keeping the birds away and the insects. And they're spending hours in their little countryside place there, little plot of land. It's all they have, but it's something. And you see them working. And so we also have a little plot of land that we should cultivate in the heart. Where the guru has planted the seed of bhakti. And every day we have to cultivate it. Throw out the bad weeds. Some envy's there. Hey, choo! Some lust. Hey, wash out. I got angry. Get that out of here. Some envy. And no room for envy in Krishna consciousness. All the bad weeds. And there's one creeper left. Bhakti Lata Beej. And we water it. Very carefully we're watering. Hare Krishna, oh, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And then we stand back and we watch it grow. That's the greatest pleasure. Watch that little seed. It grows and it grows, that Bhakti Lata Beej, and it breaks through the coverings of the explodes the coverings. And it goes through Vaikuntha, but we don't stop. Hold on, don't stop here. Whoa! Keep going. Don't stop. Whoa. Krishna Lok. And it comes and it winds around the lotus feet of Radha Gokula Nanda, and it produces beautiful fruits and flowers of bhakti or devotion. And then that's the beginning, not the end. It's the beginning of everything, because then real life starts. Real life is not this bodily existence. This is not life. This is serving a dead body. The corpse has no life. Real life is Krishna consciousness, and that begins in earnest in the spiritual world. When, by the grace of our spiritual master, return back home, back to Godhead. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam Aki, Srila Prabhupada Aki, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur Aki, Sri Guru Parampara Aki, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Aki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji Aki, Gornitai Aki, Shalagram Srila Aki, Bhakti Vedanta Manor Ki. Go Pemanande. Thank you, Hare Krishna.